Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. You'll never guess what the subject of the message is this morning, right? Jesus is alive. Aren't you glad? You know, this isn't a religion. This isn't some kind of just annual thing that we gather together. Jesus is really alive. And because He's alive, it matters in the lives of the individual believers. Right? Jesus makes all the difference in the world. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. And then we're going to skip from verse 10 over to verse 16. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you seek, or I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now let's skip down to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and rejoice to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrate victory over death because He rose from that grave. And because He lives today, we too shall live. Father, I pray that the message of salvation would penetrate this place today, so that those that are here who do not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they come to You for salvation. Father, I thank You for the privilege of preaching and this opportunity to stand before this congregation and declare the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we pray that Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Go and tell His disciples. There's three phrases that I want to call your attention to today in the text that we just read. The first one is, go and tell His disciples. Now, of course, we know how the story goes. The ladies had gone to the tomb to see where Jesus was, and I guess I assume to check on things, if you will. And it's Sunday. It's the third day after Jesus has been crucified. And the ladies go to the tomb and they're met by an angel who has rolled back the stone and he's sitting on the stone. I've always tried to picture that in my mind. This angel sitting on the throne. I bet he was kind of relaxed, like, that's right, I did it. I don't know. But what I do know is that when the ladies got there, that stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And so the angel addressed the ladies, and they gave, and he gave them a very important command. And that command was, go tell my disciples. Now, that strikes me as being very odd and even being very interesting, in that the first people who needed to be told that Jesus was alive was the people who followed Jesus. And I find that interesting because Jesus had been very upfront with these guys in Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, and you may want to keep your Bibles open because we're going to use them today. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. I want you to see how plain Jesus was with his disciples. Matthew 16, verse 21, Jesus told his disciples, or it says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Now, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, but I think that's pretty clear. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to rise again the third day. You guys are going to meet me in Galilee. My question is, where are the disciples? Come on, man. You have the information. Jesus is going to rise on the third day. Even the enemies of Jesus remembered that Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it again. Right? And he was talking about his body. So what did the scribes and the Pharisees do? They hired guards to stand watch at the tomb. They don't want Jesus coming out of that tomb, but glory to God, they couldn't stop him, right? Everybody seems to know the third day is important, except the very ones who were his personal disciples for 3 years. Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I know these guys were beat down. These guys were disappointed. These guys have seen way more than they ever thought they would see. And their dreams of Jesus being the king and establishing his kingdom seem to be ruined. But where are they? Where are they? But after I thought about that a little bit, you know, I thought, you know what? The same announcement needs to be made today. The very same announcement. Jesus is alive. Go and tell my brethren, go and tell my people that Jesus is alive. You say, Brother Doug, why do you say that? Well, you read about, you read today, have you checked on pastors lately? There's a lot of discouraged pastors in the world. And I keep hearing the fact that they're quitting at unprecedented rates. They can't take it anymore. And you know, I understand the pastoring is a roller coaster. In the best of times, right? There's good times, there's not so good times, there's attacks from Satan, there's demonic attacks, there are just, you think, ooh, pastor's got it made. Yeah, right, try it a little while, you'll love it, right? I really do love it. But I tell you what, it's easy to get discouraged. It is. Do you know what I think preachers need to hear? Jesus is alive. That same Jesus that called you to the ministry is still seated at the right hand of the Father. That same Jesus who changed your life can change the lives of everyone who hears the gospel message. That same Jesus is as powerful today as he was the day he parted the Red Sea for the nation of Israel. That's our Jesus, and he is alive. The point to me telling you this is we need to act like it. Not only do pastors need to know that Jesus is still alive and they still have a mission on this earth, but church members need to know. People are hurting today. And I get it. Ups and downs of life, right? family problems, marriage problems, job problems, financial problems, COVID problems, sickness problems. Everywhere you look, there's problems. And it seems that it's just a good time right now for people to be beat up and beat down. Well, I want to tell you, if you're beat up and you're beat down, that Jesus is still alive. And it does not matter what you're going through. It will pale in comparison when you stack it up against the eternity that Jesus has planned for you. Glory to God, we know where we're going, right? And this little, what I call the junk of today, we're not going to have to deal with that in eternity. I read over in the book of Revelation how He wipe our tears away. Ooh, glory to God. Can you imagine never being sad? It's hard to imagine. I'd sure like to try it. How about you? Our God, our Savior, our Jesus is alive today. And again, He's still in the business of changing things and changing people. Are you worried? You know, are you worried about, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to meet the needs that I have. I don't know if I'm going to be able to provide for my family. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I'm going to... Listen, Philippians 4:19. You know what Philippians 4:19 says? Well, let's go over there and look. This is our God. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need. Are you looking at this? You got your Bible open. I want you to see it. If you understand Jesus is alive, you got to understand this came from Jesus. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What are you worried about? God's got it. Jesus is alive. John 14. I love John 14. That's another. Are you worried? Are you worried about the future? John 14. We got to go there. I'm going to run you through the Bible this morning. I see it already. John 14, 1. Jesus told His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't worry about the future anymore, because I know what the future holds. I'm leaving here in a blaze of glory and I'm going to meet my Savior. Listen, Jesus is alive. Do you get it? In the balcony, do you get it? Jesus is alive. On this side, do y'all get it? Jesus is alive. I don't think you're getting it. Over here, Jesus is alive. What I'm saying is act like it. Quit moping, quit worrying, quit concerning yourself with everything that old Satan and his demons throw at you. And just let Jesus be alive and say, Jesus, I trust you no matter what, because you're the God of glory. You got this, right? That's our God. That's our God. Jesus is alive. Second thing I want to call your attention to. Jesus Himself tells the ladies there in verse 10. Don't be afraid. And this is the line I want you to get. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. Meet me in Galilee. Meet me in Galilee. As I thought about this, again, that thought of the disciples, where are they? They knew. Where are they? Or they were supposed to know. Where are they? But then I thought a little more, and I thought, you know, I bet old Thomas and old Peter and John, they're beat up, they're beat down, they're thinking, well, why should we go to Galilee? Why do I have to go to Galilee? We're in Jerusalem. And when the ladies come, you know, and they say, listen, Jesus wants you guys to go to Galilee. We saw Him.
You know, I just kind of imagined in my mind if one of them didn't think, why can't he just meet us here? I mean, he's in Jerusalem. We're in Jerusalem. Why do we have to travel to Galilee? You want to know the answer to that? Because that's where Jesus was going to be. You're impressed, right? You got to go where Jesus is. You got to go where Jesus chooses and work where Jesus plants you, right? Where will you find Jesus today? I've got an idea. It's called Ekklesia, the church. Okay? Ekklesia is the Greek word, right? The church. And the reason I bring that up is because in this world, church is just becoming less and less of a priority. And we get here, and boy, you know, the last 2 months at Victory have been awesome. I leave here on cloud nine every Sunday night. We've seen people baptized. We've seen people saved. We've seen people join the church. We've seen people come to the altars and pour their heart out to God. God is moving. And you will not see that anywhere else but in God's house. I want to tell you. The reason I point this out is because I hear all the time, well, now, preacher, you know, I invite people to church. It's just kind of part of who I am. Well, now, preacher, you don't have to be saved to go to church, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Sometimes I want to look at them and say, I never claimed you did. I look at them, I hear, and this is the one that really gets me. Well, now, preacher, I can worship just as well in the deer woods as I can at church. You're a member of the wrong church, brother. Listen, the woods are great. Because I've heard it on, you know, the lake. Well, I can worship just as well on the lake. I can worship just as well at home. Listen, you need to get in a church that you can worship in. Right? Because I promise you, you cannot do at home, you cannot do in the woods, you cannot do on the lake what you can do in God's house when God's people come together and the presence of God indwells God's people in worship and the message is preached and the Spirit begins to move and convict and draw men to you. You won't get that anywhere else. You can say what you want to about the church. But you know what Jesus says about the church? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. We all know what that says, but I want you to know, I want you to read it for yourself. Ephesians 3, 21. And the reason I want to point these scriptures out to you is because people, I just hear so much negative about the church. You know? I don't like church, and there's too many people in the church, and the church is too dead. And no, listen. First thing you need to ask yourself is, how does Jesus feel about the church? Okay? What does Jesus think? Before you start running down the church, ask yourself how Jesus feels about the church. Here's what Jesus says. Chapter 3, book of Ephesians, verse 21. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know what it doesn't say? To Him be glory at the lake. To Him be glory at home watching a TV evangelist. No. Or in the deer... No. Not in the deer woods. No. To Him be glory in the church. Why am I here? Because to Him be glory in the church. I'll tell you, God does not get the glory from me, and I don't get the glory from God if I'm not in God's house. You got to go where Jesus is. But yet I hear all the time from people, you know, God just seems so distant. I just pray and it doesn't do any good. It just feels like God's not hearing my prayers. Listen, you got to go where Jesus is. You got to step toward God. And God's not a... God's not a made-to-order God where it's you go through the drive-thru at Wendy's and say, "Oh God, I'd like to order up a blessing and bless me and bless my wife and bless my family and give my kids a good job." And that's not who God is. God's got a relationship. A God that we are His servants to give Him glory. That's who God is. And listen, as long as you're trying to go to God on your terms, God will be distant. I love you and I tell you that out of love, right? Number three, third thing I want to point out to you. Verse 17. The disciples have gone to Galilee. And they see Jesus. And they worship Jesus. Verse 17 says, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some... what is that word? Come on. Doubted. Some doubted. Now, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've always skipped over that word until I was looking and studying for this message. And for some reason, that word caught my mind, caught my eye this time. So I looked it up, and you know, we think when we read that word doubting, some doubted, we think of Thomas, doubting Thomas, who said, "I'll not believe until I touch the nail prints of his hands and thrust my hand in the spear mark of his side." That's not what it's talking about. As a matter of fact, these guys have now met Jesus. They know it's Jesus. There is no question that Jesus has risen from the dead. So where's the doubt? Well, that word doubt, it means to lack confidence. To lack confidence. They're not doubting, is this the Son of God? These guys are lacking confidence to go on, to press on, and to continue the ministry. You see, these guys have saw what they did to Jesus. And I cannot imagine, I've never seen anyone crucified, but I've read and how gruesome and just horrible. And, you know, it's one of those things that you see that once you see it, you can't unsee it. The brutality of it. And they've seen Jesus crucified. They've seen the blood and the spear that was thrust into his side. And they're thinking, okay, Jesus is alive, but man, I don't know if we can keep going. I don't know if we can press forward. You see, they were at the point where they had felt they lost the war. There's no use in continuing. And then Jesus, right after says, they doubted. They're lacking confidence. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, I love this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Listen, here's what you got to know to get over those. Do I continue? I'm beaten up. I'm beaten down. Do I press forward? Here's what you got to know. Number one, it's Jesus has been given all authority. That word authority, it means official jurisdiction. It means ruling power. But it also means the ability to rule. Okay? So apply that to your situation. Right? If you're downhearted about the circumstances of life, you know Jesus can take care of it for you. Right? You know that you can overcome it through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, "All authority is given to me," what He's trying to instill in those guys is a little bit of confidence. Now, I know this is a Great Commission. We're not going to get real deep in the Great Commission. I'm not taking away from anything about what we've been commissioned to do. But what He's telling them that for a reason. They think Satan has won, and Jesus is saying, "Whoa, guys, no, Satan has not won. I've won." Jesus did not lose. Right? When He was crucified, it was not a loss. He was crucified for my sins to take my punishment.
He was laid dead in that grave for 3 days. And glory to God, on the morning of the third day, He came out of that alive. And He's still alive. He didn't lose. When He came out of that grave, He came out a winner. He was victorious over sin. He was victorious over death, victorious over the grave. And today He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He listens to His children when we call. Because He lives, we're going to live. Sometimes we just need to stop and think about that. Got up this morning. And it's funny what God does sometimes to fix the attitude of a preacher. Got up this morning, got up, did a little Bible reading, looking over the message, doing a little praying. And I don't know, I guess it just hadn't registered with me. And so I get finished and I start down the hall to go shower and get ready for church. Beth comes out of the bathroom and says, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" "Jesus is alive." I'm like, "Is that all you got?" And it dawned on me, "Hey, dummy." And I'm not making fun of Beth. She fixed me. I had not got into that gear yet of, "Oh, wow, He really is alive. Oh, wow, He really did come from that grave, come out of that grave." And you know, "Baby, thank you very much." I didn't even tell her that this morning when she did it. But it set me on the right mindset. Jesus is alive. And whatever problem you got, you have to approach that problem from that point of view. Second thing, Jesus told them, "All authority is given to me, now you go." Is we're not done. We're here to proclaim a message that Jesus is alive. Okay? And until you stop and think about that, if you do not stop and think about that, today will just pass you by and you won't get it. And bless your heart, I don't want today to pass you by and you not get that. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And you know, the reason I keep pounding that message is because God's people need to get fired up about the fact that He's alive. We don't serve some dead prophet. We don't serve some religion. We don't have some central board somewhere that we answer to. Listen, Jesus is alive. That's who we serve. That's who's coming again. And glory to God, because He won, we too will win. So right now, just stop and think, Jesus is alive. Here's what Christians need to do. 2 Timothy 1:6. Come on. Second Timothy 1:6. I want everybody looking at this, please. Paul's writing to Timothy, who was downhearted. He'd been beat up. And he says, "Look, Timothy, verse 6, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God
stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus is alive. You know what that's what he's telling Timothy? Timothy, yeah, you've had some tough times here, but Jesus is alive. Timothy, yeah, sometimes it's hard to be a pastor, but Jesus is alive. Timothy, God is not a God of fear. He's a God of power. Why? Because Jesus is alive. If you're saved, that's what you need to latch on to today. My friends, Jesus is indeed alive. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. And that's what he told him. Stir up the gift. Okay. If you are a child of God, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He's the Lord of your life, will you raise your hand? Wonderful. Amen. When's the last time you were excited about it? Stir up the gift. Do you know that Jesus Christ can take the lowest and sorriest and meanest of sinners and make them a new creation and save their soul? If you know that, raise your hands. Amen. Jesus is alive. Start acting like it. Those of you who are giving up, no. Come on, Jesus is alive. When we walk out of here today, let's let the world know Jesus is alive. I don't serve a dead king. I serve a living Savior. Let's let it be known. Let the world see. Let the world see. By the look on your face and the confidence in your step that Jesus is alive. Now, I want one more to end this. One more thing. I want to tell you the story. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I've got wonderful news for you. Are you listening? Is everybody listening? Right? If you're here, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been one of those, you've looked at churches and you say, yeah, churches filled with hypocrites. You're right. I won't even argue the point. You're right. Is that if you're one of those that look at preachers, all preachers are the same. They're just in it for themselves. Well, maybe so. I won't argue that. Okay. And you can pick apart churches and you pick apart preachers and you can pick apart people. But here's the bottom line. You're a sinner. You say, preacher, who are you to call me a sinner? I'm glad you ask. I'm a sinner. The reason I know you are is because I am. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody in this building. And there's nobody here that can act like we're above it because we're not. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a gift of salvation, a gift of heaven, a gift of eternity, the joy of the Lord that lies before you today. And that all you have to do is call out to the Lord in prayer and ask for His salvation and He'll save you. Oh, Brother Doug, it just can't be that simple. Listen, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't earn it. You're not good enough. Even if you did something that you thought that earned your way to heaven, you wouldn't be good enough to keep it. You'd blow it next week. Right? Salvation is 100% faith in Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? It's all about Jesus. And the glorious news is Jesus is alive today and He is seated at the right hand on the throne of God to make intercession for you. Get this. This is where it gets awesome. Okay? Who are you to address the God of the universe? Who am I to address the God of the universe? The God that created heaven and earth. Who put the stars in place. Who has numbered the hairs on your head. Who are you to go before that God and ask Him for salvation? I'll tell you, you're nobody. That's why Jesus is the advocate at the right hand of the Father. And just as soon as you cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, save me through Jesus Christ, Jesus stands at the Father's side and He says, Father, he doesn't deserve it. She doesn't deserve it. But Father, I paid for his sins on Calvary. My blood was shed for his sins. And my blood cleanses from all unrighteousness. And you know what God says? Accept it. Accept it. Ephesians says that we're accepted. Who has made us? Jesus, who has made us accepted in the Beloved. Listen, I want to be accepted of God, but the only way is to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But praise God for grace. The grace of God. Today, if you're not saved, please, please, will you come during the invitation and we'll set up here on this front pew. And let me share with you from the Word of God that Jesus is alive and saving sinners who call on Him. If you're here today and you're hurting, please, come during the invitation. Take one of our staff members by the hand and say, will you pray with me? Or if you don't want to pray with a staff member, just come and lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus, this altar. Why? Because Jesus is alive. If you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory, come. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Whatever your need, Jesus is the answer. Now will you please let Jesus have His way. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We rejoice and we celebrate knowing that Jesus is alive. Father, we rejoice not because we're good enough to go to heaven, but because Jesus paid for our sins so that we could go to heaven. And now I pray in this invitation that if there is one here who does not know You as their Savior, I pray that they'll come. They'll place their faith and their trust in You and make it public. Father, I pray in this invitation for those who are hurting, those who are discouraged, fighting the battles of life. Father, I pray that You would instill in them the confidence, the assurance that You are alive. Father, I pray Your will be done. To Jesus be all glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.